this heaven?
No. It's Iowa.
Kevin, you're the podcasting Jesus, right?
I do feel holier than thou.
Do you think you could tell us all your thoughts on God?
We're talking The Last Temptation of Christ on the Pot of Dreams.
Scorsese brings us a startling vision. An extraordinary story. The Last Temptation of Christ.
All right, welcome everybody to our movie podcast, The Pod of Dreams. If you listen, we will pod. We're talking Jesus. We're going straight to Jesus Christ. And
Jesus Christ.
Yep. The Last Temptation of Christ is the movie we picked. I picked it this week. Picked it because of Easter. I had never seen this movie before. After watching it, I realized it is very much not an Easter movie. We don't even see the resurrection in this movie. So totally missed the boat on that one. I have so many thoughts. There are so many things that I want to talk about. I have many questions. I'm going to come off like an ignorant idiot in this podcast because I know very little about Jesus. But I just want to say at the outset, as somebody who's not religious at all, I mean, very much not, I'm pretty sure I was baptized Catholic, but don't really think about religion or God often. I was really touched by this movie. And I don't understand. I know it was very controversial when it came out. I guess I don't really get why, because to me this seems like a love letter to religion.
I can tell you exactly why it bothered people. You see Jesus boning a lady in the movie. That alone is.
But
like
he doesn't really do that.
Well, I understand. I understand that it doesn't really do it. I'm not telling you my perspective, Eric. I'm not saying it was upsetting to me. I'm saying there's tons of people who are just showing that, even though it's like...
So that's like blasphemy or sacrilegious or something?
Kind of, I think so. I think that was pretty upsetting and off-putting to people. And then he's in a throuple.
Yeah, but, and Mary Magdalene, there's like a train of guys running a train on Mary Magdalene or whatever. But this movie was so controversial, they banned it in movie theaters. There was like a terrorist attack. Like,
yeah.
I don't understand any of that. To me, this if you're a person of faith, this movie would only strengthen your faith in Jesus and religion, I would think. But again, that's coming from somebody who's not religious and doesn't think about this very often.
I'm somebody who is not was religious and is not anymore, but I still think about this stuff pretty often. I think you're right that it's a love letter to Jesus, but I also think aside from the sex that you see, which again, I think it's just categorically people just don't like, is that it does something. It humanizes Jesus. Like, we get the little title at the beginning, like, this isn't like a direct retelling of the Gospels. This is like I don't know what it says, like a thought experiment.
Fictional story or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, we're not trying to totally recreate the Gospel. We're not trying to just proselytize and create exactly what happens in the Bible. We're taking some creative liberties here, and they take the creative liberties to try to really give you some idea of what Jesus was like as a human. Like, what did he actually experience psychologically, emotionally? What was it like coming to the conclusion that you had to be sacrificed? Was he scared? Did he ever have lustful thoughts? Yeah, all these bazillion things. Was he ever angry? Like, and you see all of these complicated emotions he feels about it in a way that, it has empathy for him. They're not angry. It's like, this would be an awful lot to take in if that's what you had to do. And that itself also probably doesn't feel good to some people. who just want the like lionized
pure There's what magic mythic, Jesus.
Pure mythic figure from the Bible, yeah. Not like a person who actually lived and probably had a lot of complicated, tough feelings. I think some people don't like that either.
So before we turn it over to Kevin, because definitely want to hear Kevin's thoughts, I just want to say the thing I liked the most about this movie was just the story of this guy who, you know, is supposedly the freaking son of God or has God inside him and is the second coming of God. Like what his life was like what, as a person, you know what I mean? It's like that's what I found the most interesting and like it's a cool story. And I guess if that's the thing that people butted up against, I don't understand it because, you know, most of this stuff is from the Bible, right? Like, I know it's not a direct telling of the Gospels, but like, you know, he talks to the John the Baptist guy and Pontius Pilate and all that stuff's in the Bible, right? Like,
there's a lot of stuff from the Gospels in this movie, for sure. A lot. Right.
So, I don't know. Kevin, tell me all your thoughts on God.
Well, I was born and raised an atheist, and everything I know is from pop culture, maybe episodes of South Park.
You mean everything you know about religion or about Catholicism or just
everything
the life
I know
in
about
general?
Religion? I learned from Trey Parker and Matt Stone.
Yeah, something about Jesus and Santa Claus fighting. It's very my knowledge is very limited, but everything that happened in this movie I kind of knew about. So nothing was new until the end when the little weird girl showed up.
And let's pause. I know we're skipping towards the end, but this is again. I think
yeah, we gotta go through it.
I think that's the point where it gets controversial. But this is
I think it's controversial because Jesus had so many doubts about himself.
Yeah,
that has
sure.
to be.
But I think that's sure. what Scorsese liked about the story, right? Was that it's like it's about both the man, the human, because we're all human, you know, and Jesus was a human being, and then like the side of him that was like God, that had God inside him where he could do miracles and he could fucking turn water to wine and all that shit. Like that's what makes it interesting. It's like, I mean, I not to hearken it back, but that's like Neo from the Matrix, right? It's like what makes the Matrix interesting is not just that he becomes this fucking, you know, Messiah figure where he could go in and out of the Matrix. It's that he was this man. He was this person that was a miserable, lonely, like, hacker. Like that's what makes that story interesting, and I think that's the same thing with Jesus. Is like it doesn't him just being this all-powerful reincarnation of God is like that's not all that interesting. What was he like if he's got the voice of God in his head? Like he must have been crazy, right? He must have been losing his mind.
Well, that's how the movie starts off. He's basically going insane and losing his mind. He talks about God being like a hawk in his brain. And he's just like writhing on the floor.
And he's
in agony.
Like, what is this? Even if the voice is saying like I'm God and I'm inside you and you need to sacrifice yourself and, you know, I can create, you'll come back and save mankind. Like you wouldn't believe that shit, right? You're like, this voice in my head, I don't believe it. What is happening? And I think it does a really good job of that. I mean, I'm sorry if you're like religion and you just go, you're religious and you go to church and it's like, I don't want to see Jesus struggle, but like, isn't that exactly what you are as a person doing when you go to church? And aren't you struggling with your faith and what you believe in and whether or not there's a heaven or hell or what? Like, isn't the whole point of religion is to like find faith and question what you're doing? I don't know. Maybe it's
well,
not. Maybe I guess
faith is a lot of different things for a lot of different people. That's a caveat we should say. It's not one size. Some people go to religion because they want certainty. They don't want doubt. They don't want ambiguity. They want absolute truth as they see it. And the suggestion that Jesus wasn't perfect and had all these very human and very real feelings probably caused a little cognitive dissonance for what their conception of reality is. And for some people, Jesus was literally perfect. Like, not, he didn't even have bad thoughts.
Okay. Like, so that's where my questions start is like, okay, so the Bible, the Holy Bible is written by supposedly these guys that witnessed Jesus do all this shit. Right. Mm-hmm. And that happens like after like Islam is around, after Judaism is around, because like all of these prophets were their rabbis, right? Don't they call each other rabbis?
Yeah, because they're Jews, right? They're Jewish people.
Right? And they live in under rule of the Romans, correct? Yeah. So the religion already exists, right? So like, you know, there's Muslims, there's Jews.
There aren't Muslims yet. So I just want to be very clear. If you're trying to be precise about this stuff, we're not getting Muslims till like another 600 years. And Muhammad bases his stuff, and now we're really going to piss people off. It's all mixed in. His point is that he's another prophet. He's the next leg in this. So it's a different branch of...
But like the religion stuff as we know true, it but this stems is from this small period of time, like when Jesus was around and his people, like all religion that basically the main ones come from that, like whether or not you're Jewish or, you know, believe in Islam or you're Catholic or Christian, like it's all coming from the same area, same point in time. That's crazy to me. Like that blows my mind. But that did Jews believe Jesus was, is that, is he like the prophet and the Messiah of Jesus? Is that part of Judaism?
No. So now that's going to be a religion 101 class. So no. So if you want to use like a movie, so, and different sects have different books, and there's all sorts of rabbit holes for what
does canon and what doesn't. Sorry to interrupt, but the reason I ask is like the movie starts where he is Jesus, is hearing the voice of God, but his Judas is trying to kill him because he's a Jew, and Jesus is like helping crucify Jews, right? And like that's where I was confused. I was like, wait a second, so like Judaism is already a religion, but they're not Romans because the Romans are Catholic, well, right?
So Israel was a country.
Were not Catholic. Catholicism is based on Jesus.
It's so. All tied from Jesus. Okay. Yeah. So the Romans, were they not, they had no religion?
Yeah, they had, I think they had religions. The ancient Greek religions.
Right. Okay. The Aries, I'm going to mix the Greeks and the Romans up, whatever, Roman, whatever the, there's the Greek and Roman equivalents of like the god and of so war, the god of whatever.
Different, they heard like Jews meeting and talking religion and God, and they were killing him basically, right?
Well, Jews, I mean, there was a country. Israel was a country, and it was also a religion, right? It whatever it was, 700 BC, whatever it is, there was a country. There's actually two countries, Judah and Israel. There's two of them. One of them got knocked out. Judah lived, got to be a vassal state for quite a while. At some point, there was an uprising, and that was squashed, I think, by the Romans. So then, you know, the Romans took charge of the country. They basically made it like a Roman colony, but there were still Jewish people living there. The Jewish beliefs are hundreds, potentially thousands of years old at this point. Like, Jewish people have been around a long time. And the Romans have known about them for a while, too. But they have this tension because the Romans are there in Jerusalem saying, you know, here's what we'll allow you to do, and running the show. And the Romans are squashing anybody that they think might lead an uprising of any kind. They don't want a revolution. They want a revolt, whether it's from Jesus or the Zealots, right? Because you have people like Judas in this movie who wants to get back to having a Jewish state. He wants the Romans out. His goal is political. He wants a nation of Israel back. He wants to recreate Israel, the country.
But is that like canon to the Bible? Is that...
That happened in reality. That's been a thing for a long time. And that's a
historical fact. Right?
Yes, that Jews had a country. It was wiped out by a bunch of ancient civilizations. A lot of Jewish people remained, but it was never Jewish until after World War II when they created recreated the country of Israel. And a whole new set of problems because a lot of other people have lived there as well. And, you know, who's controlled the region has changed throughout the last 2,000 years. At one point, it was the Ottoman Empire. The Roman Empire collapsed, and like Turkey. I mean, whatever. It's been a lot of people. At one point, the Christians come through and do their like crusades, and they do slaughtering of Jerusalem in like the Middle Ages. So all sorts of stuff happens. But Jewish country for real existed. Romans took it out, ran the show for a while. A lot of people who didn't believe Jesus was the Messiah said, hey, we don't care. We just want to create a country. We're going to kill Romans. We want to create a revolution. We want to recreate our country. We want our country back, right? Imagine Minnesotans living under Wisconsin rule. You're like, you'd hate it. There'd be Minnesotan
sounds like nightmare.
Rebels who would try to off people and recreate Minnesota. You wouldn't want Minnesota to be a vassal state of Wisconsin. It would be untenable. You know,
wow.
Packer paraphernalia everywhere. Wouldn't be allowed to support the Vikings. But yeah, that part is probably roughly historically accurate. Judas is a zealot, as in somebody who wants to recreate Israel. And also people that don't follow the rules, and it's very hard line with these are the Jewish rules for how you live your life, and if you screw them up, we're going to kill you. So yeah, all of them come from the Jewish tradition. There were other people who claimed to be Jewish prophets, right? There's a lot of people who died. I think David Bowie said there was like 3,000 people at least in Golgotha where they were doing the crucifixions. And the typical response is, yes, you claim to be the Messiah, and Jewish people are like, well, we're not convinced. And there's still a lot of Jewish people who are like, no, Jesus was a prophet. He was a man, but he wasn't the Messiah. He was just another person preaching some stuff. So you saw people who are like, no, we don't actually believe that. But then Jesus comes along and says, hey, but no, we're continuing it. There's a new covenant. It's not just with the people of Israel. It's with everybody on earth. Everybody can get into heaven. And then you get this new branch, the sequel, right? You've got your Star Wars, which is Jewish, A New Hope. And then you go to Empire Strikes Back with Christianity. And we're going to have other offshoots. Book of Mormon's going to be Return of the Jedi. You could also argue,
But the idea that, like, the Jewish faith, right, they have their religion, and all of a sudden this guy shows up, and he's like, the God is talking to me, and he's telling me basically love is the answer, right? Like, let's just all love each other, and at some point, everything's going to get destroyed, and I'm going to die, and I'll come back and save everybody. Like, that would be a crazy, wild thing to try to grapple with, you know. I mean, it's almost, you could almost understand why they were like, what the fuck are you talking about, guy?
Well,
like,
Jesus wasn't the first person that claimed he was the Messiah. Almost certainly there were other people who said it was me. It's just Jesus happened to be the one that was right. Be tough.
Yes, according to right, because he proved it, right? That was what I found interesting too, because the movie sort of, he struggles with it, and then eventually Judas convinces him, like, you got to go, like, spread the word, right? You got to go travel to Jerusalem and, you know, get people to follow you. And along the way, he does all these things that, like, proves, right, he's got the power. And I suppose at some point, if you're seeing him, like, bring a guy back to life and fucking turn water to wine, you're like, yeah, this guy's got to be God, right? He can do shit. But
that didn't matter to some people. The zealots kill Lazarus. Lazarus is brought back from the dead, and they say, we got to eliminate the proof because this conflicts with our goals.
Yeah, Harry Dean Stanton, what a little bitch that guy was.
He didn't care. He didn't need a Messiah. He wanted to create he wanted Israel back in Jewish control. He couldn't let somebody do something different.
But, like, the idea that, and maybe this is just true to life, like, you start the movie where Jesus is like, God is in my head, like, oh my God, I can't take this. And then you cut to, like, he's a carpenter, right? Like, that's the story of Jesus, that he was a carpenter. He's making crosses before he's crucified to, like, crucify other people. Like, that's just a crazy ass, I don't know, again, if that's true, if that's from the Bible, or if that was a Scorsese thing, like, just, I want to start the story about this guy making crosses that, you know, eventually he's crucified on a cross. Like, I just think that's super cool.
With the crucifixion, basically.
Yeah. I don't know, Kevin, what do you think about the movie? I know, like, you just said you're not a religious guy.
We haven't talked about the filmmaking at all, but yeah.
Segue
us into that, Kevin.
Well, the whitewashing of Jesus and his disciples was really weird. I found it very off-putting. Jesus was blonde-haired, blue-eyed, Willem Dafoe. But meanwhile, all the background characters are seem sort of Middle Eastern-ish in nature. So it was really odd.
At least not pale white.
Yeah, at least they're not pale white Willem Dafoes.
But why, like, Scorsese is not the first person to portray Jesus as, like, a blonde hair. Like, what is that? What's going on there? Where does that come from?
Isn't it obvious? I know this is, like, people will scream woke, but is it just, like, a white supremacy thing? Like, we need our religious figures and Santa Claus and everybody to just reflect our skin color.
But that has to have transitioned over time. Is that an American thing that we think of Jesus as a blonde-haired, blue-eyed guy, or does that come from
at the least a European
the English?
Thing. Like, at okay. least a European thing, yeah. It's fine. You want to use a different label, but I mean, I think it's like, yes, Jesus looked like us. I mean, he wouldn't have, but I mean, it's bizarre. It's fair to say like Harvey Keitel only ever seems like Harvey Keitel. I never really thought I was.
Well, I saw an interview with Scorsese, and like he made a point to say like he wanted them to speak with modern language, right? They don't talk like they're in the Bible, you know.
And they don't speak, sure, and they didn't speak English. English didn't exist at that point, sure. Yeah, that's fine. Right. I don't know, but like, sorry, back to you, Kevin. But yeah, they do stick out a bit. So some casting not being ideal.
And I didn't think this movie looked good at all. I don't know what you guys thought, but at least on my TV screen, it looked cheap.
It was cheap, right? They made it for hardly any money. I thought it does kind of look like a sort of made for TV movie a little bit, but it's also staged, I think, in a way that is brilliant. I mean, Scorsese, I think, is one of the greatest filmmakers ever, and like the ending scene with him and then the screen sort of like implodes on itself. I just thought that was amazing. But you didn't care for it, huh?
There's some cool shots in there. There's some overhead shots that I really like. There's some framing that I think is really good.
Well, I was hoping to see Willem Dafoe's confusingly large hog, but they turned him around so you couldn't see it.
So you're disappointed you didn't get enough of the Jesus penis.
No, I didn't get any of it.
Okay.
Wait, hold on. Let's back the train up. So you said Willem Dafoe's what was the phrase you used? Surprisingly large.
Confusingly large.
He's well hung. What's going on there?
Yeah.
How do you know that?
For a movie, I think it was Lars von Trier said that he had to make a prosthetic penis for Willem Dafoe because his actual penis was confusingly large.
Well, is that Nymphomaniac? Is that from Nymphomaniac?
Yeah, that's from Nymphomaniac.
Okay, so the prosthetic was to make it smaller?
That is correct.
How does that work even? I don't get how that works logistically.
So he like tapes it to his leg and then has like a fake one? That is hilarious. Wow.
Yeah, his penis was too large. It was just strange and off-putting, apparently. And we don't get to see it.
Okay. So strike one. Strike no schlong. One. No Jesus schlong.
No.
Okay. Yeah, and a lot of white dudes in the central cast. Okay. A
lot of white dudes central cast, and Jesus just seemed like a crazy person.
Sure.
Crazy person who did crazy things and hallucinated a bunch of stuff.
I mean, that's sure.
So it didn't didn't sway me at all.
Yeah, I don't think this movie could sway you. I mean, I guess I don't know what would be the difference between being a crazy person and actually the all-powerful creator of the universe is talking to you in your brain. Like, what would it? How would you distinguish between those two?
Well, you'd have to prove it, and he does. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's what
sometimes,
I think is kind of cool.
He occasionally
about it.
Proves it, and then occasionally doesn't.
Yeah, like when he turns water to wine, he like gives a little stinker face.
Yeah, he's like, hey, go check out the water.
Check it again. Sure, but yeah, there's other times where he's not going to do it. He's like, I'm not a trained animal. I'm not going to prove anything to you, David Bowie. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't think this movie's supposed to be persuasive, but I think it's just an interesting. I mean, there's an old Swedish movie called The Odette, which has got a lot of interesting religious stuff going on in it, and there's a character who literally looks deranged and claims to be talking to God. And movie hinges on whether you think he's, you know, insane or he's actually afflicted by being talked to by God. I think it would be tough to know the difference between a schizophrenic and somebody who is actually hearing God's voice. I don't know, it'd be hard.
Well, that's what I was sort of talking about, is like there's this small period in time. Maybe it was just because the human race was just sort of coming out of like basic caveman living, where like all of a sudden all these people were like, I can hear God, right? God's speaking to me, and everybody believed it. I mean, my personal opinion is all of it's bullshit, right? These are just people making these stories up. Like, and I think that's what Harry Dean Stanton, right? Doesn't he later on tell me, he's like, whether you did any of this or not doesn't make any difference. People believed it. That's all that matters at this point. And that was a scary scene.
Can we talk about how scary what he was saying was, to at least to me? People will live for this. They will die for this. It doesn't matter whether it's true. Like, this will get people moving to do all sorts of stuff. It's like, is that supposed to be a good thing? I don't know. The movie seemed to be presenting it as a good thing, but
it's a truth. It's a truth, right? It's a fact.
Sure. I didn't say it was lying, but is the movie, do you think that's a good truth? Is it a positive truth? Or is it a negative, sad truth?
Well, that was part of Jesus's, you know, sort of coming to grips with the fact that he didn't want to be the Messiah at that point, right? So it was all part of his test.
Sounds awful. There's no part of it that looks fun. There's no part of it that looks like, he has the moment where he has swagger about the water to wine, but he's got to go crazy and doing all this stuff. He fasts for 40 days in the desert. Like, he just sits in a circle for 40 days.
Well, so that part I thought was incredible. Maybe the movie looked bad, but that was fucking incredible. The fire speaking to him, which is supposed to be the devil, the snake. Like, I thought that was – and again, I'm not a religious person. I don't know anything about these sort of symbols or whatever. But just for, like, storytelling, this guy questioning his faith, going out in the desert, drawing a circle and sitting there and – seeing this fire speak to him, I thought it just looked cool. It was just, that was my favorite part of the whole movie. I thought that was amazing.
Well, yeah, I'll talk about a scene that I thought was really effective when he brings Lazarus back. It was very creepy but affecting. I mean, you know, it's just in the darkness, and even Jesus seems to be not sure whether Lazarus is going to come back from the dead, right? You just see this darkness, and then you see like a hand come out, and it almost pulls him in for a second.
And the hand looks kind of rotted. It's like a zombie Lazarus.
Yeah, and it's just, it's like that. There was wonder there, but there was also a lot of like, it was great. I mean, that scene really, I thought, worked quite well. When he's in there talking to the lion and Satan and the snake / Mary Magdalene / Eve, you know, it all worked really well. But can we pause? The score, was this immaculate? Do we have any issue? I mean, I thought this was an incredible score. Is there other
opinions? I want to talk about it. I absolutely thought it was amazing. The Peter Gabriel shit was fucking awesome. I thought it was so good. But
Kevin, you have the most musical aptitude. Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I thought it was incongruous with the time and date of the movie. But
sure.
It did sound good.
Yeah, I mean,
It was interesting. It was like, at first... I think I looked it up that it was Peter Gabriel, but then I was like, man, that sounds a lot like David Bowie's like sound and vibe. And then when David Bowie showed up, I was like, whoa, holy shit, that's so weird that Peter Gabriel's doing what I would say is like a David Bowie impression with the music, and then David Bowie's in the movie. I don't know. It was just that kind of blew my mind. But I thought the music, although it didn't fit the time period, I thought it fits sort of the magicalness of what was happening in a way, the mysteriousness.
Well, also the dread and also the fear. It was ominous. It was all over the place. And it tried to constantly strike a balance between wonder and fear and terror and anxiety and like bewilderment. I mean, it seemed to do it all. Because even when there's the Palm Sunday sequence where like Jesus is coming in to Jerusalem back to the temple, like, it's kind of joyous, but there's also this, like, just hint of just, ooh, there's dread at the end of this. Like, it's just right underneath, right? It's kind of happy for a second. Everybody's cheering, but then and you just know where it's headed.
He's just riding that donkey.
Yeah. That's right.
Not a care in the world.
Well, like, he has to wrestle with what his job is. I mean, he thinks, I've got to spread the message of love. That's how we're going to do it. But that's also not a very satisfying message, especially in a world that was as bloody as it was 2,000 years ago. I mean, violence was absolutely everywhere, all over the place. All over the place. And then it's like, oh, maybe it is violence. But then, no, it's not really. I mean, he's just got to figure out, what am I supposed to do? Doesn't know.
Yeah, right. But he also, the other thing to me that I kept thinking about with this movie is, like, the idea of somebody spreading gospel or saying, like, I'm God and follow me. And, like, he's doing it to these poor people in this oppressed society who they want. Obviously, they want somebody to believe in. They want to believe. Like, of course, you'd be like, well, my life sucks, but this guy's telling me if I die, I go to heaven. Like, yeah, that sounds fucking great. Like, it's just that idea of, you know, Mussolini or any, not comparing Jesus to Mussolini.
Oh, wow.
But, like, the idea of, like, a dictator or a powerful person coming out. I mean, Hitler, I'm not saying, again, not saying Jesus is Hitler. Like, not saying that. I'm just saying the idea of someone taking power, the power vacuum, right, where there's an oppressed society and someone, a voice comes in and starts saying things that people get attracted to and leads them to believe it, leads followers, right? Like, I got it. Maybe we need to cut that out. I don't know. But idea.
We get it. You're a Jan Sixer. We know.
Well, Trump kind of falls in that
something real
idea, right? It's like, people are poor or they're hurting and they're like, hear this voice of somebody that's saying shit that sounds good, and they're like, yeah, I'll follow you no matter what you say, like, no matter what you do. And that's just kind of, that is sort of my problem with centralized religion and a religious figure and a messiah, because, again, like I said before, I think this is all make-believe, right? He didn't turn water to wine. He can't fucking walk on water. Like, that never happened. Maybe there's these stories about it, but that's just not possible. It just didn't happen, you know. But the story of this guy who created followers and said things that people believed, that probably did happen, right? Like, there probably was some guy that, during this time where people were poor and oppressed and being murdered by Romans, where he was saying some good stuff they believed in and started getting followers, and then they killed him for it. Like, I believe that probably happened.
Well, the movie gets kind of right that, like, you know, you can say stuff, but you can't really control how it's received. Early on, he's given a big long speech, and he's like, you know, it's going to be a lot easier for the people that are suffering to get into heaven. It'll be easier for a camel to walk through the eye of a needle than a rich man to get into heaven. It's that version of that speech. And some people, he's like, yeah, kill the rich, screw the rich. And they run off, and Jesus is like, wait, well, no.
That's not what I'm saying, yeah.
No, and they just run off. Like, well, they just heard what they wanted
to hear. They start attacking the wealthy people, too. There was, like, wealthy people with them, and they start attacking them.
Well, so it's the problem with messaging, right? Because everybody can read it how they want. Side note, did you guys catch the Star Wars Easter egg in this?
No.
So there's the scene where Mary Magdalene's going to be stoned, right? And Jesus gives the let he is without stoned, let he is without sin cast the first stone. And there's a guy who's like, get out of the way, idiot. We're going to stone her. You know who that guy was, the actor? That was Irvin Kershner, the director of The Empire Strikes Back.
Oh.
Get out of the way, you idiot. We're going to stone her. Jesus is like, oh, yeah, are you sure you don't have any sins? We've seen you with that lady. I don't know. Are you sure? You sure you've got a clean slate there, buddy? Yeah. I was like, I knew I recognized him at first, and then I had to look. I was, oh, that's Irvin Kershner. That's the guy that directed The Empire Strikes Back right there.
The other part that struck me, too, was the, like, Scorsese of it all, and maybe I'm reading too much into this, but the idea that, like, right, because so Jesus – what we see is he comes back to Jerusalem. He's then crucified. And then this girl appears, who we later learn is supposed to be the devil, right?
Yeah.
She takes him down off the cross.
So you guys that haven't seen him before, did she seem creepy and off to you guys?
Not at all. I thought she was supposed to be God.
Okay.
Because I didn't know what was happening. I was like,
Yeah, she just seemed like a little girl. It wasn't.
But even when she said, like, there are many, there's only one woman with many faces, where you're like, oh, well, makes sense. I mean, at any point, like, that seemed like off.
Yeah.
And I'm just curious. I'm not judging.
I thought it was along the lines of, like, you know, what, like, man, wife, God, you know what I mean? Isn't there, like, a list in the Catholic Church about, like, the order of things? And isn't it, like, man, wife,
football,
man, woman? Yeah, football, you know, Mike Pence. Isn't it that in that order? I don't know. That's what I was thinking. It's like man is more important than woman or something like that. That's what I thought. I thought it was getting at. I guess because I didn't know she was supposed to be the devil. I thought she was supposed to be God. Like, I'm taking you down, and now you're gonna go sit in the cave, and now you're gonna come back. But
the moment she said you're not the Messiah is when I knew she was the devil.
I thought it was all part, like, of his temptation. It was like
he was just like, all right, that sounds great. Thank you.
I'm happy to be crucified.
I'll go have kids and live a happy life.
Multiple wives.
Sure.
I'll just take care of me.
Some sort of throuple situation, you were saying?
It was, yeah. I mean, okay. I think I didn't see it right away the first time I watched it, but this time she just seemed creepy from the get-go. I mean, I knew what she was, but it's like, oh, everything you say sounds menacing all of a sudden, and then you just sitting around is kind of like off-putting. Like, she's just like sitting there as he's like having sex with Mary Magdalene. And it's like, oh, this is
something funky. I thought she was the Holy Spirit or something. I don't know. But what I was going to say is, like, the idea for Scorsese, and again, maybe I'm reading too much into this. My thought was, like, is he saying, you know, I decided to make movies. Was like his temptation, right? Is like, because I think he at one point wanted to be maybe in the seminary, wanted to be a priest. I thought I read that somewhere. Is like the idea, maybe that's what attracted the story to him, is like this idea where, like, I could have seen my life as like a normal person and like living a normal life, but I eventually decided to make movies and you know, live this. Not that he's the Messiah, but that was his temptation, and he thinks often about, like, I could have had this normal life, but instead I'm making these movies, and his calling, that's what God told him to do. I don't know, maybe I'm reading too much into it, but I was thinking about that throughout the movie. Was he reflecting on his life in that scene? Because the book, right, there was a book written by this Kaczynski guy or something like that. I don't know his last name. But it's this fictional idea that Jesus was both a man and a God, and he struggled and decided, made the choice to be the Messiah and to sacrifice himself. But that's not from the Bible, right? That's not canon.
No, that's a fictionalized, yes, that's
right.
Just
conceptual. For this movie and this story, yeah.
For the novel that came out before the movie, yeah, yep.
Right.
Like, that's somebody think about it. I didn't view it as a filmmaking metaphor. I thought more there's this tension between, like, enjoying being alive and enjoying being human versus, you know, suffering and withholding and depriving yourself in a quest for holiness. There's this central tension, which Jesus embodies more than anybody else, I guess, for this desire. And there are different Christian views on how much does God want you to enjoy life, or is life just a series of possible temptations that could lead you away from God and eternal damnation. And there's lots of different views on this, and I think there's this joy of the flesh versus the flesh is the problem sort of tension. And this book/movie is more of an exploration of that and trying to resolve the tension between those two concepts. It'd be interesting. I don't know. I think he loves filmmaking more, so it's tough to view that as like a crucifixion metaphor. Maybe he meant it that way, but I mean, I feel like Scorsese loves movies, making them. Like, he enjoys every aspect of it, so I don't know. That's torture. I don't know. What do you think, Kevin?
Yeah, I think that's digging a little too deep. It doesn't. I don't think that's what Scorsese was going for. He was more going for his passion project of making a film about Jesus.
Okay, so you both think I'm wrong. All right, great. Move on.
In so many words, yes, that's right. In so many words. But I don't know, the girl, I just was fascinated by it. I don't know. It was very creepy the second time around. This is the second time I've seen this movie, and it's like, oh.
Well, now knowing that she's supposed to be the devil, it makes sense.
But everything, it's literally everything. At no point does it seem like she's giving good or decent advice. Like, she tells him to not listen to the guy talk, and that's one of those creepy moments. At the end, when he's old and dying, and some of the disciples come back, and he realizes the girl's the devil, and he's just like crawling out, and you're the devil. It's time to finish this. Die. Like, it was just really creepy. I mean, there's these moments where the movie is really ominous and unsettling. And that was one where it's like, oh, that still works. I mean, as somebody who is not convinced this is literally true, it's still very affecting and weird and off-putting, in a good way, I guess. But why did God kill Mary Magdalene? Do we have any conception for why that happened?
Well, see, I was, Kevin talked about learning a lot of this history from prop culture. I was thinking about, wait, in the Da Vinci Code, Jesus has sex with Mary Magdalene and has a baby, right? So she actually had, in the story, she had the child of Jesus in the bloodline, and that was Ark Holy of the Grail Covenant is, was?
Yeah.
Was like the remains of Mary Magdalene and her bloodline.
Yep.
But obviously that's a fictional story too. I mean, that's all made up as well.
But if that were proved true, it would cause a lot of anxiety and tension in the faithful, I think.
I guess that's confusing to me too. Like, why does it matter if Jesus has sex? Because he's a man. Like, what does that do? Because you're tempted by women? Aren't we supposed?
Isn't that just bad.
But it's not lust. It's like procreation. Isn't that what we as living beings?
Yeah, the other Marys in the throuple was like, you're supposed to bear children. God wants it, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
So I don't know. But is that why priests aren't supposed to have sex? Because they're...
Well, it depends on what you're talking about. I mean, I think we're focused a lot on Catholic. I mean, it wasn't... Scorsese was a Catholic, or slash is, I guess. And they have all these extra rules that have been grafted on. Catholicism was the only show in town for a long time for Christianity.
Right, so walk me through. So Jesus goes into the cave, he comes back alive, and then disappears, right? Goes to heaven. And then people
see him create, and then he transcends to heaven.
Right. People then create churches in his honor and praise Jesus. And is that Catholicism then to start?
I think the historicity part is that the people who saw this, the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those are the gospels, those are the first four books of the New Testament. The way this shakes out is that there wasn't written text at the time. It was an oral tradition. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John told people, and they carried on this Jewish oral tradition of storytelling with, in the optimal sense, a lot of fidelity. Like, they didn't change it. People tell stories, it changes, but if you're being an optimist about it, they were very diligent about not changing a single word of the stories, and they got passed down and passed down and passed down for hundreds of years. At some point, somebody wrote them down.
About 300 years later.
There we go. So three centuries after.
Is like year zero, is that when Jesus was born? Or is that after he died?
When he was born.
Okay. Yeah, so BC is like before Jesus was born, not when he was
literally
like
crucified. Literally before Christ's birth, yes.
So like year, what, he was like 33 or something like that when he died? So yeah. The year 33 is the crucifixion of
That's 33 – AD. There we go. I can remember. I know. Sometimes people do before common era to try to demystify, de-Christianize the timeline.
But yeah, it's like that.
So then in 300 years, they write a bunch of books, Eric, but some books get counted by the Catholics and some don't. So there's arguments. There's other ones that people say those aren't actually canon. We're not including those. We're including these. big debate about what is actually the word of God. At some point, they come up with this is canon, and a church forms and grows in power. I don't know.
But so then the Romans become Catholic then? Because there's like Roman Catholic, right, which is kind of the main one for the longest period of time. Right?
Eventually, I mean, there's a lot going on here in terms of history and how.
But that's like Baptists, like the Baptist Church. They just believed in this John Baptiste guy who just threw people in the water. Like then he's their savior.
No, I mean you don't really get many non-Catholic options until whatever it is. And then
Lutheranism
after Martin Luther in this era, where then once after the printing press, basically what happens is people can't read. The only people who can read the Bible are priests, so they control the narrative. They create the rules, and they say you have to do X, Y, and Z to get into heaven, and that's how it was. Then we eventually get like the Gutenberg printing press, and it gets translated, so you don't have to whatever Latin or Hebrew or whatever the original versions were. They got translated, so more people were able to read the text, and then people started having different ideas. Martin Luther disagreed about whether works and forgiveness, and people focused on different passages. So you get all these different versions. You get 5-point Calvinists. You get all these different iterations that come along. You get all these people, and they start fighting. Yeah, and for control, and which is the correct version, and how ought we to run the society. And Europe starts fighting for hundreds of years, basically, about what religion is correct. Some people stick with Catholicism. Some say no.
All because of Jesus.
One could argue, yes.
Well, so that was who's the comedian that had the joke? Is like, if you don't think, you know, Christianity's important, like Louis C.K. is like, what year is it? You know, it's like, yeah, that's fucking crazy. We all in the entire planet, all of the human race measures what year it is based off of this fucking guy when he was born and what years since that guy was born. Like, that is just insanity. That's how we live our lives today. It's 2024 years after that asshole was born.
The year
born.
Of our Lord, 2024.
Right. Like, yep. It's crazy to think about that's how much influence. I mean, literally the most important human to ever live, right? No? Most impactful.
Okay, maybe. That may be true. I mean, sure. Some people debate the historicity of Jesus. I think I think you accept that he was a historical figure that lived and died. And I suppose I don't have a problem with that really either, but not everybody's convinced that we have any good reason to think Jesus of Nazareth actually lived. It's tough because we don't have any recording. Again, it's written 3 centuries after the supposed events. It's tough.
Yeah, someone could have made all that up too. Yeah, you're right. I mean, sure.
Correct. And I don't know enough to know for sure. And again, I don't have a problem with saying, yeah, okay, fine. Jesus was a person who lived. I don't have a problem with that, but it gets tenuous when you get that far back, getting actual records of, like, do we have anything of anybody that ever actually met him in his life?
Do you think someday AI is going to, like, answer that question? Like, it'll go back and, you know, search
through records. I don't think that's how AI works.
It's going to time travel, and then there's going to be, like, a robot there.
Well, recreate history and, you know.
How would they recreate history?
Well, wouldn't that just any piece of information that's ever existed, historical fact or written document.
But isn't there always going to be too many gaps to ever rely on it? I mean, yeah, you can take every scrap of information we have and try to piece it together, but you're going to have to.
I mean, how do you know what you just said, right? Like, you've read that in some book somewhere, and I don't know. Like I'm saying, would there be a definitive answer whether or not Jesus ever existed? Based off of the history of mankind.
Maybe. Some people think there already is a definitive answer. I don't know enough to know to be convinced one way or the other. But yeah, if that's a question you're interested in, you can look at what evidence do we have that Jesus lived and died outside of the Bible. No, I don't know. It's fascinating. I think stuff's super interesting. But I'm with your overall assessment, Eric. This is a love letter to Jesus and faith and Christianity overall, I think.
Yeah, I watched some video of Scorsese talking about it, and he was like, it actually hurt him the most that people would say this movie, like, would affect their faith in you know, Catholic or Christianity. And he's like, that is like the opposite of what I was trying to accomplish. He's like, to me, this should strengthen. If you have any faith at all, this should strengthen your faith in, like,
but it wasn't Passion of the Christ, right? Like, that's the most apt modern comparison. That came out 16 years later. And Christians love Passion of the Christ. They just spot on, because it is literally just trying to create what happened in the gospel. Jesus is mythic.
Just a translation of the Bible, basically.
Yeah, and Jesus is just this fully formed mythic figure from the get-go. And doesn't seem to have a lot of nuance. And it's also, it really hits hard. It hits hard, the crucifixion. I mean, it is so blunt. Have you seen Passion of the Christ, Eric?
I have not.
Okay. No. I mean, that's why it's called The Passion, though.
Right. It steers all hard into the crucifixion.
Yeah.
So he doesn't, Jesus doesn't bone in Passion of the Christ?
No, but you get some of the same scenes. You get the guy getting his ear cut off and replaced by Jesus. You get some other scenes. You get some proselytizing and some of the like sermons and stuff before.
Does he walk on water? And
I don't know if we get the walking on water. I think we get the turning water to wine. We definitely get
we
the
didn't
ear
get walking on water.
I don't remember. It's possible. It's been, I haven't seen it since.
No. In Last Temptation, I'm saying we didn't.
Yeah,
get that.
Well, we definitely didn't get it there. We didn't get the bread and fishes. We didn't get that one. There's a whole bunch of other ones you could do. I mean, there's times just Jesus was pulling demons out of people and all sorts of stuff happens in the fig tree. So there's a whole bunch of things that weren't covered. I mean, this is sort of the highlight reel, but I mean, Passion of the Christ is probably like 45 minutes of the crucifixion is just 45 minutes long. It's just brutal. And it's like, this is
who has a better highlight reel, Jesus or Caitlin Clark, you think?
On the court, Caitlin. I mean, I haven't seen a single think... of any logo threes from Jesus Christ.
I bet Jesus could hit a logo three. You don't think so?
Well, until I see it with my own eyes, he's 0 for 0 as far as I'm concerned.
I thought it was the book of John that mentions his prowess with the basketball.
He's got some hooping skills.
Well, we know Jesus has packing heat down below, according to Kevin.
He can dunk from the three-point line. Would that count for three, do you think?
No, but here, does Jesus beat South Carolina? Does he not choke? I don't know if he's tall enough.
I mean, how tall is Jesus? People were a lot shorter back then.
What's his measurable?
5'7".
Yeah,
have a good
you're right.
On him,
it's all the intangibles. Jesus had all the intangibles, though.
So. Is he a glue guy, Jesus? He's kind of a glue guy, isn't he?
Yeah.
Real locker room kind
of
dude.
A lot of smarts, really understands the game. Knows how to play situational.
I think Jesus would be, he's more of like a Brian Ferentz type guy. I think he would probably work in that offense.
Yeah. Well, he's a hell of a distributor of the ball, is what I heard.
I had a joke I was going to try to make, but I'm not going to go there. I think it was too dark, so I'm just going to self-edit there as we steer into this crazy course. But, I mean, okay. Obviously, nobody's persuaded by the movie. I'm curious. Eric, you might be the most effusive on this. What's your rating for this? What's out of 5 stars?
I'd say 4.5. I really liked this movie. I really enjoyed it. It's too long. I think major criticism. Well, I think the crucifixion. So once he's crucified with the devil baby, devil girl, like there's too much of that. That should be like a Christopher Nolan would do this like crazy, you know, smash cuts where there'd be all these sort of montages, and there'd be Hans Zimmer going dun dun, and it would just be Jesus seeing his life flash before his eyes. Like it would all end. That would be the end of the movie. Instead, there's this like half hour where you're watching him live and you're kind of confused. Like, wait, what the fuck? I thought he was crucified. What is he? Now he just walks off and lives this life. Like that didn't happen. You're just confused by it. And then obviously it kind of pulls it together. But I think that part of the movie drags a bit for me. But otherwise I thought like, again, as a person who's not religious at all, doesn't really believe in any of this. I thought it was like a beautifully made movie about, again, probably the most significant person in the history of the human race, if he ever exists. The most significant story ever told.
Ooh, the greatest story ever told. I'm pretty sure there's some Jesus movies called that.
Yeah, well, it's the hero's journey. It's definitely powerful. yeah, we're just skipping over the world's first rock star, John the Baptist. He had like head-banging naked women, all sorts of music playing.
Just, yeah, this metally rambling, just, yeah. Just stream of consciousness. Yeah, I couldn't tell what was going on there.
But yeah, so like, is he hearing God too? Like, what's going on at this time period where all these people are hearing God? What is happening?
I mean, yeah, there were a lot of prophets. There's a lot of prophets in the Bible. Jesus mentions a bunch of them, Elijah and a bunch more.
Moses, right? Isn't Moses mixed up in there doing some shit?
Oh, of course, yes. Yes, Moses.
Part in seas? Isn't he partner in seas?
Wasn't he part what?
Doesn't he part the sea? Moses? Isn't that Moses that does that?
Yes, yeah. yes, he does that, yes. That's true. He delivers Israel. See, this is about the founding of Israel, who were like captured by Egypt and made slaves, and then Moses helps found the country of Israel after freeing the Israelites from Egyptian oppression. And there's a lot we could talk about. There's David. There's a whole bunch of characters that come before. There are a lot of prophets, and there are people who claim to be prophets after Jesus, no doubt.
What were they smoking back then where they all thought they were talking to God? What's going on?
I don't know. I don't think anybody knew what schizophrenia was.
Sure. So are you saying Jesus?
There was
is
just a lot of mugging by Ben for some reason.
Well, did he just say Jesus is a schizophrenic? I think maybe he did.
No, you said, why are all these people hearing God's voice and being prophets? And I think, okay, well, I mean,
yeah, mental health wasn't a priority back then. Not much was known about it.
Was Pazuzu from The Exorcist, was he hanging out, getting in all these people's brains?
Yeah, could be.
You know, talking about, you know, fucking crosses and stuff.
Also, I think when life is just brutally hard all the time, it's probably like, oh, hey, I'm you know what? I don't actually have to work because God's special chosen one, and you should just listen to me, and I'll just give lectures and not work, and I'll just keep.
Well, and there were like, you know, right now there's like 10 billion people on the planet right now. Back then there was like a million, right? You know, I mean, the human race was like hardly existed compared to the number, just the sheer number of people that exist today.
Yeah,
it's kind of crazy.
It's true.
All right. Kevin, do you have a rating on this movie? Sounds like you didn't love it all that much.
Well, there's the whitewashing, which I found unsettling and disappointing. I thought Willem Dafoe, he did a great job.
Yeah.
In a difficult role, but I thought he was a poor casting decision because he just looks so menacing to me. Because he's played all these bad guys.
Well, in the same thing I saw Scorsese said he picked him because of To Live and Die in L.A. He liked him so much. And that when he's like insane in that movie. He's like naked half the time and like murders. He's a bad guy in that movie.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's certainly an interesting choice. That one that I don't agree with. Just how menacing and. But maybe he wanted to show that part of Jesus, like the angry side. And it did not look good. The movie did not look good to my eyes. So those reasons, I gave it a two stars, 2 out of 5.
Ooh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
That might be your lowest rating yet on the Pod of Dreams.
Yeah, for sure. It is. The only faith that it questioned for me was whether Scorsese was a good director or not.
Whoa. Wow.
It
okay.
Shook my faith to
and
the
him.
Core.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love it. It's great. Good stuff, Kevin.
Well, Kevin and I are very much not on the same page. Yeah, I like this movie a lot. The casting is weird. I really Don't love the Harvey Keitel casting. I find it more annoying than...
Yeah, he's another bizarre choice.
Like, he just... And we're, I think Willem Dafoe is doing a really good job giving it his all. I don't know what. I mean, Harvey Keitel, I don't feel that way.
Oh, like, really? See, I think you're right that he's not the right person, but I think he does a great job. Okay. You disagree.
That's fine. I don't know. This is the kind of, if you're going to do a movie about
Jesus, you're not going to die. You know, from Reservoir Dogs. Are you a doctor?
Did he say that line in this movie? I don't remember that.
You got shot in the belly. A lot of you could live for days with shot in the belly. You're not going to die. Sorry. Okay, go ahead.
You're fine. This is the kind of Jesus movie I'd want. It's way more interesting and thoughtful than simply we're going to just show you our, you know, religious texts as a movie. It's a lot more nuanced and interesting than that. I don't think. I mean, it's pretty clear Scorsese wasn't interested in a lot of historical accuracy. That wasn't his goal. If it was his goal, then yes, he failed miserably for historical accuracy. He didn't even come close. There's times where it does feel like they're kind of cosplaying as the disciples. I'm with you there, but it takes such an interesting approach that I loved it. And I love the music. The music to me was, if you got a much worse soundtrack, the soundtrack alone is probably worth like a star to me. Like it would be that much worse with a inferior score. And there's lots of interesting discussions that happen along the way. They go all sorts of like, what's the best way? How would you change reality? How can we make reality not suck for people? And discussions that I think are really interesting. There's not probably as much meat on the bone as I would want for some of those. I probably want more of the theological discussions, more of the moral discussions about it. A little bit less of Jesus crazy at the beginning. Probably that could have gone a little quicker into it. I didn't mind that it dragged a bit at the end. I mean, it does, but I think it's important for it to drag. It feels old and tired, just like with Jesus. Super interesting. It is a shoestring budget. He said they had like two months to shoot. They didn't have a ton of money, and they just had to do whirlwind. Everything had to happen really, really fast. But you're right. I mean, it does make it look not as eloquent and polished as good. Anyway, bottom line is 4 stars. I think it's really great. I could almost go 4.5. I kind of oscillate between those two. I think it's really excellent. There's a lot going for this movie.
I think The Life of Brian says everything about this movie.
Well, that's a 5-star movie, probably.
Never seen it. Is that the comedy version of this, basically? Yeah.
Monty Python, yes. It's absolutely a comedy version of this.
You could make fun of just about everything that is supposedly happening in this.
Yeah.
Oh, and you get a lot of it. You get the different Jewish terrorist groups arguing or whatever, religious zealots having different names and fighting. I mean, makes fun of fanatics and people that, anyway. If you're saying Life of Brian is better than this, I would maybe agree with that, but I like this movie a lot. There's no other movie that exists like this, really, and nobody else could have or would have made this movie. Like, it's such a weird, idiosyncratic thing.
Well, the other thing I was thinking, too, is, like, what if you made this movie but put it in, like, modern times? Like some person is just all of a sudden like, I can hear God, and then starts doing shit. Like, I know that's sacrilegious, right? And it's blasphemy. But I think that would be kind of an interesting... Like how he sort of tried to have them talk modern and, like live in this sort of modern way. Like, David Bowie's hanging out. Like, instead of doing it back in Jerusalem, like, have it take place in New York City, you know, like, in 1980. Like, I think that would be kind of an interesting take on it. I don't know.
Well, I think the only
Jesus of the Bronx is that
Jesus. The name Jesus of the Bronx. There you go.
I think the only reason that movie would get made
is Jesus.
Hey, Zeus. Religious group.
Yeah, there you go.
He's Puerto Rican.
It would only be like a religious group that would make that. And
Father
do it
of Apollo. Like, don't fuck me or shove a lightning bolt up your ass. Sorry, what were you saying, Ben?
You're fine. It's not worth it. It's fine. I think only a religious group would make that kind of movie. Like, oh, we want to show it in modern times. And
oh, and then it'd be super cheesy. And
right, like, oh, I'm going to take footage of this guy turning water to wine. And look, you atheists still won't believe it, even though I've got video footage.
Like, but if, like, Jesus is just saying, like, let's love each other and let's provide for each other, let's, you know, distribute wealth, let's, you know, all of the things that, like, really is what he was trying to say, but get lost in the message of the church.
Get lost. Like, people don't like that message.
Isn't that what he was supposedly saying, right?
People aren't concerned with what he was. I mean, people hear from Jesus. Jesus gets to be whatever people want him to be. So people go for the version of Jesus that they want.
But in this movie, right, that's what Jesus is saying, is like, let's love each other. I'm here for love. Like, it was, I have a heart and I love, that's all I am, or something. Like, if I was a fire, I'd burn, but
this movie covers it well. Like, Judas is like, yeah, okay, turning the other cheeks, that's for children and dogs. I'm not doing that. So, yeah, that might have been Jesus' message, but the person who actually saw him and was talking to him was like, yeah, screw that message, that's dumb. I'm not turning the cheek to a Roman that's oppressing me. And you'd say that about a lot of oppressed groups. Like, yeah, I'm supposed to sit here and just suck up this oppression. But, like,
Passion of the Christ, does it actually portray Jesus as somebody who's like, let's love each other and, you know, share what we have? And
I don't remember that being a part of it. I mean, but again, it spends only a little bit. It really wants to get into the Last Supper and the crucifixion. So I don't remember it about the messages of Jesus so much as just the crucifixion, which is the big thing for people. Like, Jesus died for your sins. Don't you feel guilty? Believe. I don't know. I did something anyway to make a movie like this before or since. It's such a weird. I love it because it's such a bizarre, like, thing that we'll never get again. You're just not going to get I can't think of what, like, a somebody who genuinely loves the religion and thinks it's true, but also wants to create a nuanced take about a religious figure. It's just not going to happen. I don't know. So I like that a lot. That's another thing I like about it. It's just so different. But.
All right. Anybody else want to talk about God or Jesus or
Caitlin this movie? Clark?
Or Caitlin Clark? The Iowa Jesus? Okay. All right. Well, who's next? What movie are we watching next?
Well,
Kevin?
There's very, very little trivia I can give for you guys before you guys can figure this one out.
Okay.
But it stars... it shares a star with one of your early Pot of Dreams movies.
Okay. Okay.
Nothing. That's helpful. Yeah, nothing. That's not helpful at all.
What year is the movie? Are you going to say
I
that?
I can't tell you.
Okay. Oh, he's withholding. Okay.
Yeah. Let's see. It's got 60% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay.
Let's see, what else can I give about it? All right, it came out 2024.
Okay.
It's a remake of an 80s movie.
Is it Roadhouse?
It is Roadhouse.
Oh, God. Okay.
Starring Jake Gyllenhaal.
And only for this pod would I watch that movie. Okay.
The original is one of my favorite... good bad movies.
We'll talk about it. The original Roadhouse, I watched it last summer, I think. I don't think I'd ever seen it before. It is such a weird movie. It is not the movie I thought it was going to be.
What did you think it was going to be?
I thought it was just like a 80s action Rambo-esque type movie. And it's not really at all. It's all this business about him running this bar and like starting it up, and then he's like some spiritual person. It was just weird. It was a weird take. Hey, and then all of a sudden he kicks ass.
Pain don't hurt.
So have you watched this yet?
I have not.
Okay. I have not either. So nope. This will be a new viewing for all of us.
Yeah, I love the original. The original is one of the most entertaining movies ever. It's so fun. It doesn't make sense. Whatever. Like, no part of Broadhouse, the original, makes any sense. But it's super entertaining.
Even, especially the main quote, pain don't hurt. Because that's the definition of pain, is that it hurts.
Yeah. Well, if you have a really cool philosophy, then it doesn't.
Yeah, well... Yeah,
what really hurts is the suffering of humankind.
He's got a PhD in philosophy or something.
Yeah, he's like a philosopher. It's like, what the fuck? I thought he just kicked ass. What is happening?
Well, he has a special move where he rips the guy's throat out.
Yep, throat rips. MacGruber style.
I used to fuck guys like you in prison. One of the craziest insults I've ever heard. It's both stupid and terrifying at the same time. That's like... It's so hard to fathom. Like, oh, somebody wrote that in the script and had that guy say it. That's insane.
Yeah, my first thought was to watch the original Roadhouse, but, you know, Doug Liman put in all this work. I don't want him to let it go to waste.
Doug Liman directed it? Oh, God. Okay.
Yeah, but my guy Post Malone is in it, apparently. So.
Is he? Yeah.
Okay. This is incredible. All right. I'm going to go in with rock bottom expectations.
From Jesus to Roadhouse. There we go.
It's a little palate cleanser.
Okay.
Will I give it more than 2 stars? Well, we shall see.
We shall see.
All right,
well, I'm going to go pray for your sins. So I'll talk to you guys later.
All right.
I thought you were going to